Good afternoon. Happy Saturday to you, Stillwater area. This is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osmond, and you are listening to Flashback Twin Cities. It's a show that takes a look at the media of yesteryear here in the local area, and we look back on it fondly, make fun of it a little bit, gently, and just have an overall good time today. I am thrilled to be co-hosting. If you follow the Twitter, if you're a tweeter, if you're in the tweet space or Facebook arena, I'm Don't Flinch Guy at Twitter. That's my Twitter handle, as the kids say. Thrilled to be filling in here today because Tom has let me run a little wild with this. And we are doing a tribute to sports, which is most dangerous. But he's got a great collection there on his website. If you haven't been there, it's tcmedianow.com. That's tcmedianow, all one word, no hyphens or anything in there, .com. And you can take a look at some of the great collection that he has established for himself. Along the ride with me today, well, I should say I'm along the ride with you, is Tom. How are you, sir?
Not too bad at all. Tell you what, you be the conductor. I will just tell you when to stop.
How about that? Very good. That's good. That's good. I used to back in the day, I was a thespian.
A thespian?
Yes. And I had a theater teacher once tell me that every great artist is really two great artists. Somebody to make the art and somebody to say, stop. You're done.
That is very important. Some people will just keep going overboard until
right. What
was beautiful is now just kind of bad.
Sometimes less is more. This is what my fiancé tells me all the time. I don't know what that means in my case. But
you should say that means you don't have to vacuum.
No, there we go. Or just vacuum a little piece.
Yeah.
A little piece of the house.
A little thing.
We're going to start today because, you know, as a Minnesota sports fan, as I am, and by the way, everything we look at here at Flashback Twin Cities, we try to take a local spin on it so that it is in the Twin Cities area. And it's real easy as a sports fan to get pretty negative in this town.
Mostly if you're a Vikings fan.
If you're a Viking, and I know that this is the Packer station, and actually we'll get to this later in the show. I do have a little, a metaphorical building of the bridge between the two communities. We have a great clip of Halsey Hall and Ray Scott. And Ray Scott, for those who didn't know, I think every Packer fan really knows Ray Scott was the Packer announcer in the 60s and I think even in the 50s, and he did Super Bowls 1 and 2 for CBS. So we have a clip of him coming later, so I'm going to build that bridge. But as a Minnesota sports fan, real easy to just get negative. We haven't had a championship. Well, we had the Lynx championship in the WNBA a couple of years ago, but we haven't had a men's professional sports team championship since 1991. So I want to go back to those days where we brought one home. Our first clip is Ronald Reagan at the White House lawn after the 1987 Twins World Series championship. Now, to put this all in perspective for you, I was only 7 years old in 1987. And so I was a huge, huge Twins fan, and I just thought you won the World Series every year. I just thought that this is how this happened. But I think a generation above me, so I'm what now, 30, 33 years old. So people who are 40 to 50 or 60 or even beyond that know how magical that 1987 run was. I mean, just everything, stars aligned. We hadn't had a championship in this town in a long time, and it was an underdog story from beginning to end. And I thought with this holiday weekend, we should really look, what's more American than baseball and Ronald Reagan?
those are kind of the definition, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be mad at me for playing this clip. This is Ronald Reagan telling a story of his personal experience as a sportscaster.
I know they felt the thunder. And you know, all this talk about baseball, I got to get in the game somehow myself here with a story. I set a record in baseball, Major League Baseball. I wasn't playing. I was a sports announcer. I was doing a telegraphic report game of the Cubs and the Cards. Dilly Jerkers at the plate, ninth inning, this game tied up. I saw my operator on the other side of the window, but headphones on, listening to the dot and dash from the field, start typing, meaning that there was something, the ball was on the way to the plate, and so on. I didn't wait. I said Dizzy Dean was on the mound, and I said, all right, Dean has got his sign. He's out of the windup. Here comes the pitch. And he was shaking his head no, and I took it and said, the wire has gone dead. I had a ball on the way to the plate. So I had Jurgis foul it off. And then I thought, you know, in those days, a dozen of us were broadcasting the same baseball game. It wasn't one outfit. And I didn't want to, at that point of the game, lose my audience, so I decided I'd have Jurgis foul another one home. Which he did.
Hold it.
And my operator's still just sitting there. Then I had him foul one that just missed being a home run by a foot. Then I had him foul one down back at third, and I described the two kids that got in a fight over the ball. Well, this went on till I knew now I couldn't back out. I'd had him at the plate so long, and all of a sudden, Curly started typing. And I started another ball to the plate and got it. And I could hardly talk for giggling. Jurgis popped out on the first ball pitch. But in the meantime, I have set a baseball record for successive fouls and length of time at the bat.
So there you go. The audio is a little bit, that's my fault, collecting sketchy audio. But what a cool story. I mean,
First off, I don't think that's your fault. That's audio that's been recorded from years and years ago that people, you know, it's hard to get good stuff from back then.
I couldn't find anything better. But what a great story. First of all, just to go back in time to when they were broadcasting baseball games, that's how he did it. He was just getting the wire feed. And they were just describing from the ballpark what was going on via telegraph, whatever was coming into them. And he had to just make it up as he went along. And I just thought it was just a brilliant stroll down memory lane. It also demonstrates to me, you know, sometimes we like to say, you know, today's politicians, they're just liars. And that's not how it was back then. But that's evidence that that occasionally Mr. Reagan would bend the truth just a little. And of course, I'm kidding. I'm not going to get into a big political discourse here. But I just thought that was a really neat story and really cool to capture that. The twins sitting there on the White House lawn. As we are examining the Minnesota sports scene, I thought it would be good to take a look at Ahmad Rashad. Now, he's one of us, as we like to say. He's not from Minnesota originally, but he played his football with the Minnesota Vikings. And he was a wide receiver, very famous wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, and then went on to a great career in broadcasting. So I thought today we'd do just a little tribute to him, first by taking a look at a clip from Vikings Football Report with Tony Parker in 1979. So Vikings Football Report was kind of just a half-hour show. Bob Lertzema, who was bench warmer Bob, often co-hosted the show. And this is Ahmad Rashad's, to my knowledge, one of his first times on TV and the first step to a very great career in the 80s and 90s and even a little bit today. And so here it is, Ahmad Rashad with Tony Parker from 1979.
Actually, the thing is, every time you catch a quick out and you try to make a move on the guy, all of a sudden he becomes leery and he becomes hesitant. And then all of a sudden he makes a wrong move and you'll get a chance to get away with something like that, maybe once, twice a year.
Were you running flat out full speed there?
No.
No, okay. Here's young Cunningham, a rookie. Made a fine catch with the toes there. Stayed
inside. Of course, if I was, I probably wouldn't win any faster.
Noticed number 78 up in the top part of your screen.
Steve Riley did a great job.
Great job against Cedric Hunter.
That's Sammy the voice Casey of Bob Lertzema there.
Runs that pattern to perfection, that comeback pattern.
Love
Look
the music.
What we have here, folks.
This is something that Tommy and I worked on this all last summer, running that corner pattern. Right down in our neighborhood. We run that 10, 12
times. Go down to the old Ford, take a left, and I'll tell you fast.
That's the same one.
Again, Ricky Young. Ricky having his usual good game.
Was that when Doug Sutherland got hurt?
Yeah, he was trying to run that same pattern. You know that?
That's right.
Doug got his shoulder on that one. Oh, I think we're one play away from that last controversial one. Let's take a look here.
Practice makes perfect.
This is number 3. No extra points for jumping the chairs.
No, we know we practiced that Saturday about 10 times.
Jumping the chairs?
Jumping the chair. Catching the ball and then jumping the chair.
That's hazardous. Somebody get hurt.
I think Bud will have it removed.
You do work on that quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, we did. Let's
we
take
did
a
that
look.
Saturday.
Here we go. Clearly over the goal line.
Clearly.
There you
clearly.
Go. This might come back, or we can take another quick look.
Just in case, Sammy just got on it. Just in case.
Yeah, here we go. Let's once more see what we can see.
Tell them about the official here. See the official. Tell them about the other official you don't really see.
There's an official up at the top of your screen that's looking straight down the plane of the goal. And as I crossed the line, his hand went up immediately. Uh-huh. And the only way we could see that is we saw that at practice yesterday because we have a wide angle film. And his hand went up immediately. Then the next guy's hand went up, and it was kind of a chain reaction. But the first guy has the call.
Okay, now let's clear up the rule. It's the new rule that. If the fumble within the 20-yard line lasts 2 minutes, only the man who fumbles can recover it.
Yes.
Right.
So that if this hadn't been ruled a touchdown, the Vikes would have had it first and goal on the one, roughly.
Right. From the point of the fumble.
Yeah. And with
what
the time,
if San Diego would have recovered it?
Then we're dead.
But oh, okay.
Since Sammy recovered it, he would have had the ball first and one and goal, could have kicked the field goal and won the football game.
We couldn't lose.
Okay.
It was a cakewalk.
That's what you said last week. I'm glad it turned out that way. We'll come back in just a moment and talk some more, but first let's take time out to watch this.
All right. That was 1979 Vikings Report with Tony Parker. And that show has sort of evolved throughout time. In the 80s, it became the Herschel Walker show when he was a Minnesota Viking. And then in the 90s, when Denny Green was the host, it was called the Denny Green Show. And so there's been a lot of different pregame shows. And now that Fox Sports North controls it, it's hosted by Paul Allen. And it's a fun look back. And so that's Ahmad Rashad's great broadcasting career start there. He went on to do NBA Inside Stuff and a lot of other things for NBC. And I thought, if we're going to talk about Ahmad Rashad, we better take a look at him in his signature moment. His signature moment. For those that don't know, Ahmad Rashad was married to, for a long period of time, Felicia Rashad, who was the she was the husband of Mr. Bill Cosby.
She was the husband of Bill.
Oh, I apologize. She was the wife.
Ah,
she was the wife.
There we go.
Does that make sense? There we go. That's a match. So so she was on the Cosby Show during this time. This is Ahmad Rashad doing a live look-in on Thanksgiving Day. Now, this takes guts.
Joe Klecko is a true hero. Now, I get a little nostalgic when I come back to the Silverdome because I remember the last time that I played here. The last thing I remember was looking up at the ceiling as I was wheeled out on a stretcher, which was not a very good day. But I'd like to take this time today to try to make this a better day. Bobby, I got something I want you to do for me. There's a lady that I'm in love with, and you know the lady as Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. What I'd like you to do is dispatch somebody. She's there in New York at the Macy's Day Parade. Now, this isn't all serious now. I would like to send this message to her. Felicia, would you marry me? Would you get back to me, Bobby, on that answer?
You're not kidding, are you, Ahmad?
I am dead serious.
You have proposed on national television to Felicia Ayers Allen, is that right?
Either I will be the happiest person in the world or the biggest turkey on national television.
Well, now we're going to send somebody out to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we'll find her and we'll get her response. And assuming she says yes, can you get us tickets to the Cosby Show?
I'm waiting, Bobby.
Congratulations, pal. Happy Thanksgiving.
She'll
say yes, won't she?
I don't know. I vote for the turkey award.
It's a bold move, let me tell you.
So there it is, Ahmad Rashad with what Michael Wilbon calls on ESPN. He says, that's the public proposal to end all public proposals because it's just so unique. She's not even there. She's not even there. She's just, it's almost like he, well, you remember in like seventh grade when you'd pass along a note to somebody and you'd say, will you go out with me? Will you go steady with me? And you check a box, yes, no, or maybe. And then you have a friend deliver the news. So that's basically what Ahmad Rashad did. But you can't, nobody's ever going to have a proposal like that again.
Well, you got to be in a pretty good position to even make something like that.
Right.
And yeah, like the little note, you're waiting for that response. That's the horrible part.
Yeah.
You're either excited or just horrified. It's a weird combination of both of them.
Yeah, you have yes, no, or maybe. You know, maybe was always the popular choice. I think there's a Jack Johnson song that says, maybe pretty much always means no. And that's how it went in seventh grade for me.
I like you, kinda.
Yes. I cherish our friendship so much.
I think of you as a brother. That's a great one.
Oh, thanks, guys. Love to hear. How about this one? You're cute. Oh, kiss
every guy wants to be called cute.
Every guy wants to be called cute. And actually, in my acting days, when I was out in Los Angeles, I would audition for these parts that weren't for me. You know, handsome leading man, 6'4", full of muscles, and they would say that right on the audition slip. But I'd audition anyway. But it took me years to figure out that those girls in seventh grade were right. I'm cute, not hot.
Would they always say it with, "Oh, you're cute"?
Yes, yes. And then they come to you with their guy problems too.
Oh yeah,
even worse.
That's fine.
Even worse. But Ahmad Rashad, I mean, tip of the cap for him for doing that, because I just think it's a sweet move. And you're right, not many people can do it.
That takes some guts.
But
my goodness.
But you know, it's not. And he didn't even put her really on the spot, which is what a lot of public proposals do. You know, if you're on the Jumbotron at a major ballpark or something, I mean, the girl's on the spot, the poor girl. If she doesn't want to do it, there's no out.
There's been a few of those videos where, yeah, they say no.
Yes.
And boy, is that awkward.
Yeah. Actually, a couple of years ago, the Houston Rockets did it as a gag. They set it up. They hired a couple
actors. I've seen
that
one. And I thought it was real for about a week.
Phenomenal. Really, just really, really good stuff. I tell you what we're going to do here. We've been chatting it up a little bit. We've been playing some video clips. Why don't we take a little break? You are listening to KLBB. This is Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at the media of yesteryear. And today, we're giving a special salute to sports. So stick around with us. Happy Saturday to you. You're listening to KLBB. Welcome back, Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at local media from yesteryear with a smile, sometimes a little poking fun at, sometimes having just a good time with. And if this music's a little different to you, it's because Jack Stallman's in the chair right now, taking over for Tom Osmond this week, who is on vacation. Glad to be talking with you today.
I think this is the most epic music we've had on this show.
It's just beautiful music, and the reason we're playing it is because today is a salute to sports. It's our local sports teams, and this, if you've ever seen anything from NFL films, you recognize that music right out of the get-go. It's just beautiful. It gets me pumped up. We're only about a month away from football training camp starting up, and so I'm excited. I know a lot of people around here are excited. No matter which team you cheer for, the purple team, the green and gold team, I won't, you know, we're not going to say any names. I will say some names, but, you know, you can't look at Minnesota sports, especially football, which is what we're going to talk about right now, without having a tribute to losing. Minnesota sports just find a way, especially the Vikings, find a way to just, so I feel like this will please both audiences we have here, because we're right on the border. So you get a lot of Packer fans, but I don't think Packer fans mind going down memory lane and talking about Viking losses. And Viking fans, and I can speak as one of them, we really were so used to losing that we've come to the point where we enjoy it.
It is kind of a little game we play.
Yeah, it hurts, but it hurts so good. I mean, John Mellencamp had it right on when he said that. And it's easy to look at some big losses that the Vikings have had in 2001. They lost the NFC championship game 41-0. That was a good one.
Ooh.
We've lost many times to Packers in various ways, but the number one loss to me was in 2003. Now, let me paint the picture for you. 2003, the Vikings had a great team, started off, I think, 8-3, just on their way to cruising into the playoffs. No problems at all. This was the Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper team when Dante Culpepper had both of his knees working well. All we had to do the last week of the season after slumping in the second half of the season, all we had to do was beat the Arizona Cardinals, who were the worst team in football. They have fourth and forever. I think they're 28 yards from the goal line. Fourth and forever. They're down five. I think we all know what happens, but I'm going to play it anyway. This is Paul Allen, our local guy, and you can hear the pain in his voice. Here's the final play of that game.
Yeah, and the clock continues to run, PA.
17, 16, 15.
See, they have to go deep into the end zone.
We better put some people in the end zone, right, Joe?
That's exactly right.
I mean, there's nobody inside the 10.
Get back, guys.
Here it is. The season's on the line. Two receivers left and right. McCown takes the snap. He steps up. He's all by himself. Fires into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! I believe it was caught by Nate Poole. He's being mugged by his Cardinal teammates. There are Minnesota Vikings crying on the field.
We were just talking about that this last weekend with my buddy, with my buddy's dad.
It's hard to hear, but, you know, after a certain amount of time, these epic losses, they're just funny. Like, it's almost just comical. Like, how are we going to end up losing this game? And I remember sitting at a sports bar. I'm from Minnesota, and I live in Minnesota, but at the time, I was not living in Minnesota. I was living in Los Angeles. And there was one Viking fan at the sports bar. It was one of these where every TV had a different game on, so everybody had all these different jerseys on.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only Viking fan, and there was one Packer fan. So to add insult to injury to that game, the team that got in because we were kicked out was the Green Bay Packers. So they got into the playoffs with that loss, and it was just – you kind of knew. You knew when they were driving the ball down the field, even when it was 4th and 26 from the 26-yard line, they were going to score.
Well, there were two teams that had to play and lose in order for the Packers to get in. The Vikings were one of them. And I forget the other team, but my friend's dad was telling me he was at the Packers stadium when this happened. And what was going on is the stadium would not announce the game scores because they didn't want to bring down the crowd. But the people in the box seats were watching the games on TV. So when one team lost, they told the people in front of them in the bleachers. And it slowly spread throughout the whole thing, kind of like the wave.
Oh.
And you would just see like everyone would get excited, and the people on the other end, what's going on? What's happening over there? What's going on? And then when the Vikings lost, they told them again, the people at the top, and it spread throughout the whole thing, and just screams exploded slowly around the whole thing as people realized what was going on. And my friend's dad says that is one of the top 10 moments of his life as a huge Packer fan. Just watching the whole stadium explode into joy, just and everyone was confused until it hit them.
Right.
And just then euphoria.
Wow. And, you know, we will never have that moment again because we're living a cell phone era where smartphones, they just provide the score for you right away. And even in 2003, it's only 10 years ago, but that people didn't have, you know, if your screen had a color screen on it, you were doing pretty good.
I hadn't started texting for another 3 years or so.
Right. Yeah. I was late to that scene as well. You know, I just thought it was a fad, you know. And computers, they're a fad. No. So, yeah, we'll probably never have a moment like that. I actually have a buddy who says that most great 80s plots, 1980s movies, mm-hmm. new movie plots, cannot exist today because they almost are entirely about a miscommunication that has to deal with not being able to get to the phone in time.
Oh, you know, that's true.
There's a lot of them.
You got to get to a payphone. Same with 60s
right.
and
yes.
50s. You got to get that information out.
Yeah, and so a lot of plots would be just completely foiled. So anyway, that was a painful moment, but I can't really do a salute to losing with the Minnesota Vikings without talking about 1998. Now, we need to color this a little bit for people. 1998, the Minnesota Vikings were 15-1. 15-1. And at the time,
no
15-1 team had ever lost in the playoffs. No 15-1 team. And now it's fine. I don't mind it now because the Packers 2 years ago were 15-1 and lost in the playoffs. So now we each got one of those. You know, they have a couple extra Super Bowl rings hanging around. But overrated. So we each got one of those. But this talks about the Gary Anderson miss. Now, the Vikings were up 7. I'm going to talk more in depth about this. I'm going to let this play a little bit, and then I'll talk afterwards. But just to color it, Vikings up 7. Gary Anderson on to seal the deal. Doesn't go well.
Gary Anderson blows his perfect season.
He will always be known as the guy who was a part of screwing up the Vikings' trip to the Super Bowl, even though he had this magnificent season.
In 1998, the Vikings were clear Super Bowl favorites.
Touchdown, Vikings! Bomb downfield, the Moss juggles it! Touchdown!
It's a kind of season where, when you come to Metrodome on Sundays, it'd be like you're headed to an amusement park.
They're easily the best team in football.
Three teams have been 15-1 in the history of the National Football League. Give yourselves a round of applause.
At 15-1, the Vikings weren't perfect, but kicker Gary Anderson was. He didn't miss a kick the entire regular season.
Anderson has connected on 46 consecutive field goals.
History of the National Football League, Gary Anderson had the first ever perfect season.
Late in the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl was one kick away.
Gary Anderson, he hasn't missed the field goal since Moses departed the sea.
Let's put him away.
And they have an opportunity here with Gary Anderson to put this game out of reach.
This is the perfect way to end it.
This is a slam dunk.
Anderson has been automatic all season long. He's been perfect on field goal attempts and PATs.
Placement, the kick. It is
no good.
Shot. It missed wide to the left.
Unbelievable.
I remember looking up and saying,
earmuffs.
Wow.
Our number 6 foul up gave the Falcons new life. They tied the game, and in overtime, their Anderson didn't miss.
By Mark Anderson. The kick was
all right. I can't listen anymore. I just can't. That was
bringing it down, Lou. Bringing it down.
I mean, it had to be addressed. We can't do a salute to losing without that in there. And it was a tough day for me. I was living in Indiana at college. I was wearing purple from head to toe, I was a freshman in college and watching with other Viking fans. And when he missed that kick, the air just was sucked out of the room. Now, the rest of the day, I wore purple from head to toe. The other people changed out of their clothing because, you know, you're moving target then in Indiana, because obviously there's not a lot of Viking fans. But I went out in public and I took my beating because I felt like I needed to really back my team more that day than ever. And I know that I'm a weird, sick individual who likes pain, but
I think that's a masochist.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really a low moment of my life as a sports fan. It just was horrible. But I do want to defend, if I can, Gary Anderson for just a moment. Because Gary Anderson was perfect all season long, but the Vikings were up 7. This is what people forget. We all remember the miss, but the Vikings were up 7 with about 2 minutes to go. I 100% agree it would have just sealed it. It would have been over, no question. But I don't know. Buckle down, defense.
There's still a few points that had to be scored. Yeah. Somebody else had to make a few mistakes to make that thing happen.
Right. Stop them. That's all you have to do is in 2 minutes stop them. And then, so they score a touchdown at the end. It goes into overtime. We have a chance to win in overtime. But no, we didn't. But, you know, it's funny. The two Viking losses, if you look at those, both of them, after the loss, there were rule changes that if the rules were in place today in those games, the Vikings would have or might have won.